Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we did end up getting those Tesla China sales numbers reported for November. And to be honest, I was a little bit disappointed with those numbers. It doesn't necessarily mean they're bad numbers. They can still be good and also be a little bit disappointing, so I want to be very clear with my words there. But we'll walk through some of the implications for that. We've also got a bit of a tongue twister here that I'm just going to have fun with for a second. We've got a new street research, new street high price target for Tesla stock. Could that be said more clearly? Yes, but that is not as fun. We've also got news on a couple of Gigafactories, updates on Model 3 and Model Y, a little bit of news on the Plaid Model S, Tesla Energy, and a couple other things. Pretty good day for Tesla stock today, despite these numbers being, I think, below expectations. Tesla finishing up 1.6% to $1,068.96 and outperforming the NASDAQ, which finished up about 0.2%. Quick Form 4 check, we didn't see any new Form 4s for Elon last night, but there were three new forms published. These were for the Chief Accounting Officer of Tesla, also Zach Kirkhorn and Drew Baglino. All three of these were for exercising options and then just selling the number of shares required to cover the tax on exercise, which across all three was only about 5,000 shares. So might sound like a lot, but relative to what Elon has been selling or Tesla's total daily volume, pretty inconsequential. Just to wrap up with the stock then, let's cover that price target increase. So as I said, this is a new street high price target. $1,580 from New Street Research's Pierre Farragut. Pierre today tweeting, Tesla is facing an interesting new year, two factories coming online, price increases materializing in the profit and loss, and introduction of the game-changing 4680. Supply is the only limiting factor, should be a great year. The press reports New Street increased their price target to $1,580. So for New Street Research, this is a relatively quick update to their price target. The previous $1,298 price target they had on Tesla, that was established on October 21st. So it's only been about a month and a half for this 22% price target increase from New Street Research, which historically hasn't been all that frequent with their price target adjustments. I think that last conversation that we did have with Pierre gave a lot of insight into their reasons for feeling so bullish on the stock. All right, so let's get into these China numbers. The China Passenger Car Association today releasing the reports for November. So remember, this covers sales, not production. This report gives us two numbers. One is exports for Tesla China. That was 21,127 vehicles. And then wholesale sales, which are reported to be 52,859 vehicles. So flipping over to our Tesla China tracking sheet, remember that wholesale sales is the combination of retail sales or domestic sales and export vehicles. So from this report, we can work backward and get retail sales, which come in at 31,732. That's actually a little bit higher than the 29,500 that we had rumored from Tesla analyst Shanghai on Twitter. So I think that domestic China sales number is fine. We kind of already talked about that in a previous episode based on that 29,500 rumor, so we won't spend much time on that. But then when we bring in export and get to wholesale sales, where I say this is a little bit disappointing is because coming in at 53,000, that is actually less than October and also less than September. By now, I think most listeners know that I don't really care what the sales numbers end up being. That can vary because of inventory, logistics, batching, a lot of different reasons there. But why I care about these numbers is because generally it gives us at least some insight into what production is going to be. And as always, production is what I care about. But these wholesale sales numbers, I think, are going to imply a much lower production number for November than what I had expected based on the rates we had seen in October. And remember, those rates for October were really good because there was that week of downtime. So if we look at the right-hand column here, production versus wholesale sales, we can see that in general, the variance between the two is usually somewhere plus or minus 3,000 vehicles. The highest variance has been about 5,700. So it's most likely that based on these wholesale sales, we're looking at a production number for November somewhere below 60,000 units. Factoring in the downtime, October's production rates would have extrapolated to production of around 67,000 for November at those same rates. And I think it would have been reasonable to expect even a higher number than that because October was a big step up from September. So presumably they were probably at a higher rate at the end of the month than at the very beginning. So when we do end up getting the November production numbers, which may not still be for a couple weeks, that could end up being, 10,000 or more units below how October would have extrapolated. That's really where my disappointment comes in, and we'll continue with production and how that fits into the quarter here in a second. But again, just because I'm a bit disappointed with the numbers doesn't mean that they're bad. If we look again at how the first 2 months of each quarter has progressed, we talked about this a few days ago, but now we have the November exports, and we can see that wholesale sales for the first 2 months here of Q4 at 107,000, that's up 39% over this point in Q3. Through those first 2 months, that's the biggest growth of any quarter so far this year. Q2 from Q1's first 2 months, that was up 35%. and then Q3 from Q2, that was up 30%. Unfortunately, that hasn't been a great indicator of where the total quarter is going to end up in terms of the quarter over quarter growth. So I have that quarter end column there. That's just showing the percent change in total quarter over quarter rather than just those first 2 months. So Q2 versus Q1, that was up 17%. Q3 versus Q2, 44%. So it didn't really correlate too much to those first 2 months' performance. With that caveat in mind, if December is anywhere close to October and November, we should see at least, 22% or so of a quarter over quarter increase here in Q4. And that's good. This 39% increase for the first 2 months, obviously that's great. So that's why I say disappointing doesn't by any means mean these are bad numbers, but I'm also not going to sit here and pretend that I'm super excited about them either, because that's not true. And I have seen a lot of justification out there in the Tesla community today. And that's fine. There is a lot of nuance here that needs to be understood, and it's kind of difficult to communicate true feelings. But I think if we're all truly honest with ourselves, we wouldn't have expected November to come in below both October and September, especially considering the downtime in October. And yes, maybe there were some vehicles that were, on their way to the shipyard or something that fell into a different month than they should have been. Maybe that makes the sales numbers look a little bit weird, but that's really aside from the point here, which is that these sales numbers for November seem to suggest a much lower production number for the month than the capacity that Tesla has shown to have. So let's wrap up with that production then. Let's flip over to our production tracking spreadsheet. We can see that October production was about 55,500 vehicles. And remember, there was about a week of downtime there. So factoring that in gave a weekly production rate of about 15,500 vehicles, daily rate of 2,222. If I assume similar production for November, which I think is right in the ballpark based on that average variance that we see between wholesale sales and production, if we assume that, that ends up being about 13,000 per week for November. From a rate perspective, that could mean that November is about 15% lower. I mentioned yesterday that I was cautious on these November numbers because I was hearing some rumors of supply chain challenges, and then I'm also hearing that there may have been some shutdown days. Putting those together, maybe Tesla just had shutdowns because of part unavailability. Because again, Tesla has demonstrated a higher production rate than this, so unless there was a whole bunch of downtime that we really don't know about, which would be unusual, usually we do, then I think the cause of disappointment here really is stemming from the supply chain. If that persists and we sort of temper our December production rate expectations to be maybe just a little bit above what we kind of presume November might have been, but not to the same rate as November, then maybe December's looking at more like 60,000. And then in total, maybe we're at 170,000 or so for the quarter. Again, a great quarter, but not necessarily the 190,000 or so that October's production rates seem to suggest a couple weeks back. Throw in then 115,000 or so from Fremont, and there's uncertainty there for sure. But if Shanghai is parts constrained, I'm also not going to be then super bullish on Fremont. So between the two then, maybe it's looking a little bit more like 285,000, something in that ballpark, versus what seemed to be a pretty clear path to above 300,000. I'm not ready to say that that is entirely off the table yet until we do get those November production reports, but to me, at this point, it is looking like a long shot, especially as we still don't really seem to have production started at Berlin or Austin. Now again, that doesn't mean that it's not going to be a great quarter. If 285,000 was the number, that's still up 20% for production quarter over quarter. That's great. But that's also going to be a lot closer to what the expectations from Wall Street probably are, when earlier on it looked like this was shaping up to be potentially a huge blowout quarter, and that's where, for me, the disappointment comes in to some extent. The other thing I imagine I'll probably hear in the comments today are criticisms about, even looking at monthly numbers and why does it matter, should be focused on the long term. I agree with that, and hopefully that's clear over time that I have a long-term view. But just like with quarterly earnings, at least for me, it's very helpful to understand these shorter time duration things, as each of them is essentially a building block for that long term. So that's why I talk about this stuff, and the idea is that hopefully it also helps other people with those building blocks in the 5 minutes that it takes to talk about. All right, let's move on from those November numbers, but we'll stick with Tesla China here for a second. The Tesla China team did share out a video on their Weibo account, and they have an interesting little teaser here at the end. They give the date of 12/10, which time zone wise, that'll overlap with December 9th here in the United States, and they say something that loosely translates to something called special will be released soon. Please look forward to it. So sort of the equivalent of saying something coming soon, December 10th. So we'll see. I'm not going to spend much time speculating on it. I would just say that there seems to be a lot of speculation that maybe this is Tesla unveiling a cheaper $25,000 model car. I very, 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 very strongly believe that that is not what this is. To me, that timing would not make sense at all with Berlin and Austin just about to start production. Why I put the focus on a car that you can't make and take it away from cars that you can make and are going to be making a lot more of. specifically the Model Y. That's nonsense, and I would bet pretty much anything on that. I don't know. I'm not going to eat a hat on a live stream, but something that isn't damaging to my health, I would consider. If anyone has ideas for that, let me know in the comments, and maybe if I find a good one, I'll agree to that, just to emphasize how strongly I disagree with that speculation. Anyway, we'll obviously have to keep an eye out for whatever Tesla China is teasing here. Next, just a quick check-in on Giga Texas. Joe Tegmeyer, one of the drone video makers there, was able to spot some Model Y dashboards on a trailer outside of the factory. There's no covering on this, so this may be being transported from just another area of the factory. Either way, it kind of seems a little bit weird to me. If they were produced in the factory, why take them out, transport them externally, and then load them back in? Not sure. If they weren't, and these are from somewhere else, they probably wouldn't be on an open container, and why would they unload them from a closed container and then put them on an open container and then load them into the factory? I don't know, but whatever it is, it's just my lack of knowledge here. My best guess is they were produced somewhere else, and these are being used then for pre-production tests for fitment and things like that. If anybody has a different hypothesis, though, I definitely welcome that. All right, next up here, we might have some technical details on changes upcoming to the Model 3 and the Model Y. This was posted on a German Tesla forum. So obviously this is not confirmed, but the changes do seem plausible. I'm not going to go through every single one here, but I'll highlight a couple. The first line says adding new infotainment computer. Of course, previously we had talked about the performance Model Y in China getting the AMD Ryzen processor. Since then, there has been rumors that this is being expanded to other Model 3 and Model Y vehicles produced in China. So these two things would seem to be supportive of each other. Next bullet on there is adding new low voltage 15.5 volt lithium ion battery. Same thing, we had that reported for the Model Y performance in China, as well as, of course, the Model S and X. A couple other interesting ones, seven bullets down, they say that they are adding a super horn, 3-in-1 horn, alarm, / speaker. Not really sure if the horn and alarm would be separate today, but at least the external speaker would, so integrating these components. Further on down, it looks like there are a couple of drive unit updates. So they say adding Model 3 Performance M50 hairpin wound drive unit variant. Don't know much about that, might be interesting, might not. They also say adding LG M50 5L battery variant of Model 3 Performance. And then just above that, I think this one would be exciting. Updating UI, new format based on refreshed Model S and X. I've been hoping since the S and X showed off Smart Shift that that feature would carry over to the Model 3 and Y. So we'll see. Hopefully that'll be a part of the new UI if so. Next, we've got an update on the Model S Plaid. This is from Car and Driver. They've been reviewing, testing out the Plaid. And one of the things they tested was the supercharging time on a V3 250 kilowatt charger. They compared the Plaid with a 2021 Model S Long Range and found that the Plaid was able to sustain that 250 kilowatt rate for quite a bit longer than the Long Range, which I'm not certain of, but I believe they're talking about a pre-refresh version. I don't see why there would be big differences otherwise. But they were able to get that peak rate for about 5 minutes or somewhere between, I don't know, a little bit less than 15% all the way up to about 35% or so, which seems to be maybe 5 to 10% more than the most recent tests I've seen on V3 supercharger for Model 3 or Model Y. Even after that, the taper is less steep all the way to the 90% that they stopped charging at. And in total, from the 10% to 90% state of charge that they were testing, they said that cut out 19% of their charge time, or about 9 minutes. So I think really exciting to see that improvement in the Model S Plaid charging. All right, next up here, we've got some good news on Tesla Energy. Neoen and Tesla have flipped the switch on the Victorian Big Battery Project. This is Australia's largest battery. This is 300 megawatts, 450 megawatt hours from 212 Tesla megapacks. This project will help stabilize the Victorian grid, and they project it to save hundreds of millions of dollars over time. And hopefully it'll continue to follow the path set by the South Australia Big Battery Project that Tesla's worked on with Neoen and further solidify that proof of concept. You may remember that the Victorian Big Battery did have a fire at it during the testing phase, but as we had previously reported, that cause was determined and resolved, but especially nice to then see this operational. All right, next up here, we've got a bit of an update on the US federal EV tax credit status. Bloomberg Tax reporting in a partially paywalled article that a package of tax credits, which includes the additional $4,500 tax credit for union-made EVs, will undergo a review by the Senate parliamentarian this week. I would assume that includes the entirety of the EV tax credit, but they do specify the $4,500 union part here. But anyway, Senator Ben Cardin also said in an interview that changes to the provision are being discussed as well. So we'll continue to wait and see on that, but good to know that it is being discussed still. On a somewhat related note, many of you have probably seen this by now, but President Biden, or I suppose more accurately, President Biden's Twitter account today tweeted about electric vehicles being the future and the Build Back Better Act supporting them, specifically American-made and union-made EVs, of course. But surprise, surprise, in the little video that they shared, there was a shot of a Tesla Model X, not the most flattering shot, and it was literally only on screen for 1/8 of a second. So it's not much, but as far as I know, that would be the first acknowledgement of Tesla by President Biden. At least it gives us something to start the tally with, I guess. All right, last quick update for today is on the Ford F-150 Lightning. Ford has officially stopped taking reservations for this vehicle. They've removed that from their US website, at least. And the rumor is that they're sort of doing this ahead of opening up orders for configuration in January. It's not clear yet exactly how they'll handle that switchover from reservations to order configuration, but this seems to be the first step in that process. And again, as I mentioned a couple of days ago, Ford has said that they remain on track for production in spring 2022. All right, so with that, we'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, December 9th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.